I do remember many of my dear brethren of former days by a chorus or a verse of scripture or a testimony that they've given. Dear Bert DeLauder, I'll never forget him. The first time I ever heard this chorus, he sang it. And he was the only one in our group seemingly that knew it. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. My, it's a good thing to look up, isn't it? I'd like to read three portions of Scripture with you tonight. The first one is in Mark's Gospel, the last chapter. Mark chapter 16 and verse 19. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, that is his disciples, he was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. And they went forth, his disciples and apostles, sent ones, not only learners, but sent ones, and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following them. Amen. Now I'd like to look at Hebrews chapter 2, please, for a couple of verses. Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God bearing them witness with signs and wonders, with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his own will. For unto the angels hath he put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, thou crownest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we see not yet all things put under him, but we see Jesus. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, and he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And I understand those words, every man there carries the force of it. He tasted death for everything. And that takes in the man, and that takes in death wherever it's found. What a victorious Savior. And isn't it wonderful to be able to say, we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, just two more verses in the book of the Acts. I must get back to the beloved physician, Dr. Luke. Book of the Acts. And I'd like to read verses 9 to 11. And when he, that is Jesus, had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. I tried to emphasize this morning that Luke, in his ministry concerning the Lord Jesus, in his gospel, had to do what Jesus had to do with what Jesus began to do and to teach. That was down here amongst men on this earth. And now we are looking, if we go through the book of the Acts, Christ in glory, and what he's doing up there, and the Holy Spirit is taking the things of Christ and showing them unto us, and it's a blessed thing to be able to look up and to know that one some 2,000 years ago or a little less has passed through the heavens and is seated at God's right hand. Oh, I love to speak of a victorious, triumphant Savior. Let us never just leave him on the cross. And yet, I would like to say this and emphasize it if I could. There are five cardinal main events that took place in the life of the Lord Jesus, his death and, of course, his glorification. And you can count them on your fingers, and that way you can remember them. And if you remember these five different main cardinal events and muse on them, I'll guarantee you, you'll have a life of victory in this present world, wherever your lot is cast. I mentioned these five things down in Florida to senior citizens. And one dear woman, now her husband is a little over 90. I don't think she's reached 90, but her mind is so good and active. And I pointed them out that let's try to get them on our fingers, and then we'll have them with us all the time. Well, I was shaking hands at the door as everybody was leaving, and she said to me, Mr. Martin, every time I see you from now on, you're going to get five fingers. And she says, I'm going to realize that remembering those, I have victory over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And, oh, I appreciated that so much. You know, some people say, what's the use of going to the convalescerum? What's the use of speaking to senior citizens? God bless you. Won't it be wonderful if I would be able to see a trophy of grace, even 90 years old, in the glory? And don't think for a minute that God doesn't have a mind and a care for the elderly. And what a blessing this is to know that everyone is a candidate from heaven, from the smallest like Zacchaeus to the tallest, from the little boy, the little girl, until the grandmother and great-grandmother and grandfather likewise. Oh, the gospel is for all. And I hope we remembered our key verse of the gospel of Luke. The Son of Man, the representative man, came to seek and to save that which is lost. And there isn't a soul that isn't lost. All have come short of the glory of God. But think of it. When you have his salvation, you can look up and see the glory of God and Jesus standing. So I want to mention these five main events. And I would like for us to hold them fast. And if we can mark them down on each finger on one hand, our right hand, there'll be a tremendous blessing to us. And first of all, the birth of Christ. Oh, that was so unique. Never another birth like it. And I can see Mary in her pious ignorance and yet simplicity saying to that angel, how can these things be? How could I give birth, as you were saying, to one who is the Son of God and shall have such a great kingdom that will have no end? How can these things be, seeing I know not a man? And oh, those words, hold them fast. There are many today, just like the Pharisees, who tried to say he was an illegitimate man. Hold fast to them. He was born of the Virgin. And Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. And that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And oh, when I read the genealogy there in Luke's Gospel, I think it's chapter 3, right away when they begin to give his genealogy after the birth of the Virgin, right away, of course, we have Joseph's name mentioned. And he was supposed to be the son of Joseph. That's in his genealogy. And again, I mentioned the dear sister that was so emphatic. He was the seed of the woman. And I agreed heartily with her. That's true. But as to his genealogy, he was supposed to be the son of Joseph. And then his genealogy, instead of like Matthew going forward, it goes backwards. And all the way back, as I mentioned this morning, to Adam, which is the Son of God. Oh, what a Savior we have. And I love to think of this birth as the only one of its kind. And then when you think of his death, and I often mention it, he accomplished it. He's the only one in the whole universe that ever accomplished death. Due to the fact that there was no cause of death in him. And I mention it time and again because of the necessity of it. There was no sin on him. There was none in him, and he knew no sin. Holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens. This is our Savior. And mark you, there are many today that are going so far as to deny this. And when you think of his death that he accomplished, there was a In fact, I read it in one of our magazines. When we remember the Lord, forget, he didn't exactly say forget about his death, but it's not just his death. Remember everything about him. Well, that's fine. God bless you. I don't believe there's a chapter in the Bible that doesn't have some reference to him. But oh, when he said, do this in remembrance of me, he says, as oft as you do it, you do what? You show the Lord's death till it comes. And I would love to emphasize this, if I could this evening, that in that bread and in that wine, you have the whole body of Christian truth found in the body and blood of the Lord. Show forth his death till it comes. One young man And he had graduated from one of our fundamental schools, said to me, "Why, it's like a funeral. What you talk about, it's like a funeral." He said, "I get tired of it. Who wants to hear the death knells?" Oh, bless your soul. "Except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone." Alone. "But if he die, he bringeth forth much fruit." And as he was talking about this, heaven must have opened because God spake out of heaven. Some thought it thundered, but it was the Lord. He's speaking to the Lord, as the Lord said, "Glorify thy name." And he said, "I have glorified it, and I'll glorify it again." Oh, thank God for our triumphant Savior, who was obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. 7 steps downward, and then there was 7 steps upward in Philippians 2. A dear old brother used to say in our meeting at Waynesboro, "He's seated on the highest station in heaven." Isn't that a wonderful Savior, Jesus our Lord? And we hear seemingly so little today in connection with these things, these 5 things, even in ministry. I notice that some are trying to promote the worst kind of a way to promote all of the principles of the kingdom in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. Thank God for them. Thank God for them. But you get life through the death of the Lord Jesus, and no other way. And then when you think of his resurrection, it seemed as though all heaven was moved then, because after he had given up his spirit, an earthquake took place after his death, and graves were opened. And they laid there in the graves till after the Lord Jesus arose from the dead. They laid there, but then they appeared to many in Jerusalem. If you want a miracle, I think that's an excellent one, don't you? There they laid for 3 days in open graves, and then rose up and appeared to many. And then on resurrection morning, another earthquake takes place. 2 earthquakes in connection with his resurrection. And this second resurrection, those dear sisters who came with heartfelt devotion, no doubt, to the tomb. And here, an earthquake had taken place, no doubt in the early morning, maybe before dawn. And that great big stone was rolled away from the tomb. I don't know if it's the same stone or not, but when I looked at that stone, I thought, what could move it but a great big earth-removing machine or God himself? But we read that an earthquake removed that stone. And upon that stone sat one. And what do we read about him? His countenance was shining. And we read of his garments that was glistering. And he asked these dear women, who possibly were speechless, maybe for one time in their life, "What seek ye?" And then he even answers his question, "I know whom you seek. He's not here. He's risen. Come see the place where the Lord lay." Oh, what a blessing it is to look at an empty tomb and a filled throne. Don't stop. at the empty grave. Don't stop there, but look at the filled throne along with it. And what blessing comes to one soul in connection with the resurrection, the glorious resurrection of our blessed Lord. And then, of course, His ascension. And that's what we have in Acts chapter 1, His ascension. Oh, I love Ascension Day. In fact, if I had to make a choice, which I don't want to, I would probably take His ascension, the Ascension Day, in preference to any of the rest. Because that ascension and His exception in heaven was the proof that all of His work was done to full satisfaction. God received Him up in glory and completely, even though He stood in my guilty room instead, even though He was made sin for me, even though He was cursed. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. The Lord Jesus, to the divine satisfaction of God, has received Him up in glory. And think that you and I even have full acceptance in His acceptance. Accepted in the Beloved. Well, then you can't help but think of His coming again. That's what is going on here. In the verses I read in the book of Acts, His coming again. Oh, he that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. And it's a hope that makes you not ashamed, purifies your heart, and gives you joy, delight, and praise in your heart. His coming again. I often wondered why He stayed here for 40 days after His resurrection. You have it in this first chapter. Why did He stay for 40 days here in the earth? Well, I think Luke, who looked into things so thoroughly, he says He proved Himself to be alive by many infallible proofs, certain proofs. And if you look them up, you will find, if you count them, you'll find 7 men wrote about 11 different appearances during those 40 days. I don't know if I can name them or not, but you could, if I miss some. But Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Peter, Paul. I don't know if I missed any or not. 7 wrote a clear testimony as to His resurrection and appearances during those 40 days. And how about you and I? Do we believe in that glorious resurrection? You know, it's very clearly stated in the Bible that if you have 2 witnesses as to some event, something that has taken place, it will be established. 2 witnesses. And think of all the witnesses that He had as to His glorious resurrection. Resurrection. And then there was another reason why He was here for 40 days. He wanted to instruct His disciples in the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And they needed it so much because they were sour and in a measure of bitterness due to whom they were held in bondage to, the Roman government. And oh, if he would set up the kingdom immediately, we would get our relief and our release from Rome. And this is the question that filled their hearts and minds. But oh, I'm so grateful that he set them straight as to this. It's not for you to know this hour or this time. The Father has put it in his own power. But I learn from the revelation of given to the various apostles that it could take place. The Father may release it at any moment. And I am really looking forward. I don't believe of all the funerals, some over 200 now that I have spoken at, I don't believe there's one that I didn't say, I'm listening for the shout of the Lord Jesus. I'm listening for the trumpet of God. I'm looking for the dead in Christ to get first attention when the Lord comes. And then you and I who are alive shall be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And what a blessing this is to know that his coming again may be at any moment. You say, well, we've been misinformed all of these years. I know I've told you this story before. I got up one time after midnight and went over to my dad's bedside and I said, Dad, the Lord is coming again. Won't you receive him as your own personal Savior? In his early 70s, he said, oh, Charles, he said, go back to bed. He said, I've heard that since I was a boy back at Roxbury, back at the campground. That's how much concerned he was to see the lover of his soul, the one who died for him and rose again, one who is not willing that he should perish. Oh, how foolish men are to let this go on and take it lightly. And I trust that these five things you and I will be able to keep before us daily and moment by moment. His birth, his death, his resurrection, his ascension, his glorification, his coming again. I just wanted to read in connection, and I should think a nation that we are so concerned about what is in space. And building all of these missiles, I think the 17th one right now is up in space. I remember of reading, in fact, I cut out a clipping when the 11th one was put up. And Mr. Shepard left a 1971 rover up there. And they tell me, what I read was that you could have it if you could get up there and claim it. And so many American flags are there. And so many space boots, you know, with those cleats on that got hooks on so it can hold you down when you are trying to anchor there. You could get a pair of boots. Why, just think what they would be worth if you could get a hold of them. And now this time, and I just cut this out Friday a week ago, and I suppose it was in your paper too. This is from the Waynesboro paper. Cape Canaveral. The countdown is underway for Monday's launch of space shuttle Challenger on a mission in which 7 astronauts will observe monkeys and rats. They're going way up there to see monkeys and rats and weightlessness and conduct extensive medical and scientific experiences. The countdown began Friday, aiming for a liftoff at noon Monday for the 17th shuttle flight. 6 of the crew members, the pilot, 2 physicians, 3 scientists, flew here Friday from the astronaut training base in Houston and said they were eager to get on with their scientific mission. Commander Robert Obermeyer was practicing aircraft, landing at Edwards Air Force Base, California, on Friday, and was to join his crewmates today. Now, tomorrow, I understand that the touchdown will take place. And down where I live, there's a lot of the people go up on some 70 to 100 miles from the space center where these shuttles are put up. And some of them even get a pass. And I talked to Jay, who got a pass to go up and see one go up. And he said I only could get within about 3 miles of it. And I was fortunate to get that close, even with a pass. Thousands upon thousands of people, and some will just stay in an ordinary automobile for a week to see it rise. And they don't see it any better, I don't think, than we do from down there at the Ocean Breeze Park. All they see is a little fire and a little smoke and a little form of the shuttle, and it's soon out beyond the sky. They're received up into the clouds, and it's gone. Now, I'm not complaining whatsoever or finding fault with scientific things, because they are finding things. But I do know this, that if these scientific men and these professional men in high places would be taken up just a little more with the one, the man, think of it, a real man, not on the moon, that's only a beginning, but he passed through the heavens and he sat down at God's right hand. Wouldn't you love to hear them? Sometimes, once in a while you do, but not many. You'll hear them say, "We see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, tasted death for everything." Oh, what a glorious victory that would be. It would reach far beyond the monkey. I understand the monkey got drunk, and they had quite a time with him. He got upset in the stomach, I suppose, from all of the revolving around. But thank God. Thank God. Even in my day, over here at Mon Alva, at the age of 5, I went to school, the first grade. And we used to actually say, "Hi, dum diddle, the cat and the fiddle, the cow jumped over the moon." And really, we did. And who was it that laughed to see such sport and the dish run away with the spoon? So you see, they will make no further progress than what God uncovers. God uncovers, and then man discovers. He's the creator of it all. He's the upholder of it all. He's the sustainer of it all. My, what a Lord we have. I like, and I like it so much, our little children down at Tequesta. I don't know whether you sing it here or not, but they sometimes sing a chorus. Somewhere in outer space, God has prepared a place for those who trust Him and obey. Jesus will come again, but we don't know when, but the countdown's getting lower every day. 10, 9, and 8, and 7, 6, and 5, and 4. Trust Him while you may. 3 and 2, He's coming through the blue in bright array. Huh? Oh, I love to see you shaking your heads. God bless you. The countdown's getting lower every day. Little children, just like Zacchaeus, they love to hear the truth. And this is just a little children's chorus. Do you like it? "Except you become as a little child, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven." And when I think of the countdown, and when it began long ago. It was back when the fullness of time had come, when man was tried in every way and found to be lost. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, made under the law, that He might redeem those who are under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. And God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, and we cry, Abba, Father. Oh, Father. I can't help but think of dear John Welsh, who is with the Father now. He used to say right here, when he'd stand before us, my own dear Father. It was family relationship through new birth. And he knew what it was. And then that verse that Charlie has trying to get into our hearts. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So sound that we can even comfort the feeble-minded and to not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Or Paul says of me, his prisoner. And he goes on to say how that we have been chosen in Christ before even the foundation of the world. But in these last days, He's brought life and incorruptibility to light through the gospel. Something far beyond a monkey or a cat or a cow. Life and incorruptibility to light through the gospel. And it's a beautiful just to see the countdown going on. You remember at the Mountain of Transfiguration, he says, there's some of you standing here. I believe it was Peter, James, and John. Some of you are standing here, shall not see death until you see the kingdom of God. And he took them up into a mountain, and he prayed, and as he prayed, his countenance was changed. Moses and Elijah appeared. And it was when the disciples were awake that they saw His glory. And heaven opened. And those beautiful words, my beloved Son, not only in whom I am well pleased, but hear ye Him. And Peter, when he speaks of this later on in his epistle, he says, we didn't make known unto you any cunning devised fable, when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of His majesty. Oh, do you ever tire of these kind of words? Look up. Look up. The countdown's getting lower every day. And I believe, as you read Philippians 2 and read those seven steps that he took downward, down, 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 the latter part of that chapter, there's seven steps upward. He has a name that's above every name. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess that He's Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Is it any wonder that we read these words in the Epistle to Corinthians? I have not seen, ear hath not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for those that love Him. And then he adds, but He's showing these things unto us by His Spirit. So I'm wondering about what has been accomplished just when the touchdown will take place. It's getting nearer. It's getting lower. The countdown's getting lower every day. And oh, I wouldn't stop until I give a little word of warning. There might be some 50 or 75 people here tonight. I haven't counted. But not one, not one, I trust will leave the door or get a wink's sleep tonight until they bow their knee to the Lord Jesus. Now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. Harden not your heart. Oh, have you had this experience of bowing down to Him? If you bow at His feet, you'll have a tremendous story to repeat. You'll be able to say, Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Is it any wonder that the apostle would warn us and say, how shall ye escape if ye neglect so great a salvation? May the Lord, by His Spirit, search out your heart and mind, and may we become more like Zacchaeus, the meaning of his name. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Shall we pray? Our God and our Father, we thank Thee for what Thou hast wrought. We thank Thee for Thy glorious Son. And we thank Thee that without Him there was nothing made that was made. For the light and the life and the grace and the glory that is in His person. Accept of our thanks for our coming together and for Thy word which Thou hast entrusted us with. May we muse upon it and be like David of old. When I mused, the fire burned, then spake I with my tongue. We commit each family to Thee and ask Thy blessing, and may each one of us prosper and be in health as our souls prosper. For we pray in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.